are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, chapter 2 of Steps to Christ is entitled The Sinner's Need of Christ, and it addresses the profound reality of humanity's need for a Savior. The chapter also reveals how sin has separated us from God and how it's left us powerless to restore ourselves. And yet it also emphasizes God's infinite love and his desire to redeem us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so this chapter invites us to reflect on our brokenness and the divine solution provided through grace and salvation. Once again, Pastor Munga joins us to take us through this chapter. Good morning, my pastor. Welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Pastor, how are you doing this morning?
We are doing very fine. How are you doing there?
Not too bad. Thank you so much for joining us once again for this conversation on chapter 2 of Steps to Christ. Now, we're looking at the second half of the chapter where, the second half highlights that no amount of personal effort or moral striving can bridge the gap caused by sin, and that only through Christ's sacrifice and his righteousness can we be reconciled to God. Let's consider how this truth encourages humility and dependence on divine grace. Can you touch on that, my pastor?
Like we are right to say, we as human beings, we are in a state of brokenness. And this brokenness can only be mended, or this gap, this separation between the human being and God can only be bridged, it can only be reconciled with the Christ coming in the middle, or Christ bringing the human being on one side and then taking us to God on the other side. On our own, it's an impossibility. We can't do it. That one must be very clear to us as human beings, that on our own, this gap that was created because of sin cannot be mended. Like we said last time when we are looking at the first half of the same chapter 2, the sinner's need, we established that it is impossible for a sinner to escape from the hand of death. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to escape from the pit of sin. Where we have fallen, we can't escape from there. But power is only from outside that can save a sinner. Mm. The power that can save a sinner only comes from outside ourselves. Mm. Like we gave an example last time, that as human beings, we are different from all creation. In that, all our clothing, mm-hmm. the outer clothing comes from outside. Unlike all the other animals that are born, or the feathers develop from inside. But when it comes to us as human beings, mm-hmm. everything that we need comes from outside. Mm. Look at our clothing. They come from outside. So which indicates that our salvation comes from outside. Yes. On our own, we can't do it. And no wonder we find Christ bridging that gap. Mm. The gap that was created by sin. On one hand, he holds the bongi. On the other hand, he holds his father, who was wronged by sin. Mm. And then he brings us together as human beings. Meaning on our own, we can't do it.
Yeah.
But we just need his hand and his hand only.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning there is nothing that a sinner can do on his own or on her own to deserve the love of God. But grace is the one that brings us to him. Mm. And as a result, if we were to look at the love of God, I'm looking at one paragraph here where it says, oh, let us contemplate the amazing sacrifice that has been made for us. Mm. Contemplate. Maybe you sit down. You think deeply.
Yeah.
You meditate upon a sacrifice. Meaning, God did not owe us anything. Mm-mm. He could have said, okay, they have sinned. He could have wiped us. After all, it was just two human beings at that time, Adam and Eve. Just cleared them off and then created human beings who would be loving to him. Mm. Now, the further it says, let us try to appreciate the labor and the image that heaven is expanding to reclaim the lost and bring them back to the Father's house. Motives is stronger and the agency is more powerful, could never be brought into operation.
Mm.
The exceeding reward for right doing, the enjoyment of heaven, the society of angels, the communion of love, the Son of God, all these. And then it says, on the other hand, the judgments of God pronounced against sin, the inevitable retribution, the degradation of our character, and the final destruction are presented in God's word to warn us against the sins of Satan.
Mm.
So that means we are looking at two paths here. We, on the other side, there's a narrow road which leads to salvation or eternal life. On the other side, God gives us warning of his judgment, that when we continue in the trajectory of sin,
mm-hmm.
when we continue in the wrong way, what do we have? We have eternal death.
Mm.
And the devil invites us there, that we go his way, but God continues pleading for us. That is using Christ. Shall we not regard the mercy of God?
Mm.
What more could he do? And that question is very critical.
Yeah.
What more could God do to save a sinner? Even if he had sent an angel, I think that would have been better enough. But he chose to send himself. Because when Christ died, we are saying God died in Christ.
Mm.
So say, let us place ourselves in the right relationship to him who has loved us with amazing love. Let us avail ourselves of the means provided for us that we may be transformed into his likeness and be restored. We mentioned even this word, restoring, even the other time.
Yes.
To fellowship with the ministering angels, to harmony and communion with the Father. And the amazing thing about this love from God is that it is not forced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God could have used the force, like we have got the state police, who go around to enforce the law.
Yeah.
We have the courts of law who enforce it. If you don't obey, this is what happens to you. But God uses love to call us to himself, to attract us to himself. And the question still comes, what more could God do to save a sinner?
Mm.
So the best was that. Everything was done to save the human race from eternal ruin. Because this is not the death that we die here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That we can talk about. No, when we die now, you have got an assurance of another resurrection. But now we are talking about eternal death. And we are saved from that. You and I are saved from that eternal death through the life of Christ and Christ alone.
That's incredible. You know, Pastor, as you're talking about this, when I look at the title of the chapter, The Sinner's Need of Christ, we are the ones in need. But when you look at the content of this chapter, it keeps talking about how much work God has put in. You know, appreciate the labor and energy that heaven is expending to reclaim the lost. You know, what more could he do? We are the ones in need, but he is the one doing the heavy lifting. He's the one doing the majority of the work. And really all we have to do is to accept. Just accept him. And yet we're the ones in need. Normally when you're in need, you're the one who's chasing. You're the one who's trying to follow up. Lord, what can I do? Lord, please, I need your forgiveness. Lord, I am a sinner and I'm in need of your mercy. But he has poured it out on us. And ours is just to accept. And I think that's just the grace of God. That it's another expression of his grace, that he is doing all the work and he's going through. I often say to the listeners that we have an unfair advantage. Honestly, it feels like an unfair advantage. It feels like we have all these blessings that God has given to us that we don't deserve. And he has done so much to make sure that we make it into heaven, that everything is paid. Admission is paid. Accommodation is paid. Everything is sorted. We just have to accept. And it almost feels like it's unfair, but that is the grace of God to us.
Exactly. It's like the food has already been put in your mouth and your weight is just to chew it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So I think it's so beautiful. I love the line that says, the heart of God yearns over his earthly children with a love stronger than death. And I love it because those are beautiful words, but his love was literally stronger than death. He came and he gave up his life and he rose again for us. So literally his love was stronger than death. And that's the love that he has poured out on us, and we don't deserve it. What would you say to that sinner who struggles to accept that love, who struggles to believe that love is you know, that it's on them as well, that God loves them? Because we look at ourselves, we look at our sinfulness, and we think, not me. Maybe God loves you, Pastor Munga, because you're a pastor. You must be a good man. But me, I'm just a sinner. I don't know if God could love me. I know myself. I don't know if he could truly love me like that. What do you say to that kind of a sinner?
Hey, thank you. When you are reading that part, it's like I say, is she reading from my screen there, or did you, where you say there, the heart of God yearns,
yes,
over his every, yes, over his every children with a love stronger than death. In giving up his son, he has poured out for us all heaven in one gift. So for sure, God has given us the best. In the morning, in our Facebook presentation, we are looking at the woman with an issue of blood. And we are looking at the subject of self-esteem. We are talking about Jesus stopping to attend to a woman whose name is not given.
Yeah.
A woman who had an issue, who was bleeding, who was losing life for 12 years.
Eish.
And then he stops. He's going first in the first place. He has invited to the home of Jairus where there's a sick person. And then he stops, because that story is a story within a story.
Yeah.
There are many pictures Jairus there, but he stops to attend to this woman who is an outcast. So if he could attend to this woman who was an outcast, that means he can attend to every human being even today. She is a nobody.
Yeah.
She's not a star. She's not someone who's well known everywhere, but Jesus stops to attend to this woman. And she does not only heal her physically, she says she grants her peace. Not only physical healing, but even peace, and restores her dignity. She says, "My daughter,
amen.
Go in peace." That is dignity that a human being needs. And that is what God calls each one of us, his daughter, his son. And I want to mention, I have mentioned on main platform, Sister Wongi, on the earth, there is no title that is higher than being a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
Being the president of the United States of America, being the president of South Africa, being the president of Zambia or German or any other country is far lower than being a child of God.
Hey. Powerful. That's beautiful. And that's what we all are. He has adopted all of us into his family. What a beautiful calling. What a beautiful calling. Now, let's talk about responding to God's call. This chapter concludes with an invitation to acknowledge our need for a Savior and to respond to his call. Accepting Christ's gift of salvation transforms our lives and it restores our relationship with God. So we want to reflect on how this response begins a journey of faith and spiritual renewal. I want to talk about that journey, because it's one thing to accept that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, but that's not where it ends. Let's talk about the journey from there, once we have acknowledged our need for a Savior.
Like the writer puts it, we need time to contemplate. Mm-hmm. We need time to meditate. Where you sit alone, where I sit alone, and then I look at this sacrifice. And the question is that now, what shall I do?
Mm-hmm.
Because worship, whatever we do, returning tithes and offerings, going to church, singing, has to do with it. That is a response. No wonder you don't force people to say, no, why are you not singing? No. Singing should be a response to something. You come like in Zambia here, you see the Victoria Falls and you see the wonder and you say, wow. You are responding to something that you have seen. So even us, when we see this love, like David would exclaim in Psalm 113, or Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I do? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?
Yeah.
That is Psalm 116, verse 4. Then verse 13 says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
Mm, mm.
What shall I do? The only thing that you can do is to accept this salvation,
yep.
to accept this grace. And then in response, you live a life of obedience. You don't obey God so that he saves you. You obey God because he has saved you already.
Amen. Amen.
So we don't do it the other way around. That we obey so that then you say, he's a good boy, a good girl. Let me save this person. No. We obey because we have been saved already. And then obedience becomes joy. Doing the will of God becomes a joy. Spreading the good news becomes a joy. We are announcing the victory that Christ conquered the devil who had captured me, and he has set me free. So in that freedom, we sing, we praise him, and we tell others that this king did not only come, did not only live, die for me, he is coming again.
Amen.
And living with that blessed hope, our lives becomes renewed. And every day, our excitement for Christ should be increased. Humanly speaking, usually you say, no, when I was just baptized, the day I was baptized, if Christ had come that day, I think I would have just gone into heaven. It should be there. Maybe that is your testimony.
Yeah.
But it should be the other way around. We are nearer home than before.
Yep.
Now that we are nearer home, our excitement is supposed to increase every day. Our experience of God is more than what it was yesterday.
Mm, mm.
So meaning our love for him should be increased every day. Our excitement to tell others about Christ should increase every day.
Mm, beautiful. I love that. I think that's a beautiful way for us to wrap up the conversation. Maybe just touching on, emphasizing what you just mentioned there about sharing our love for Christ with other people. Once the sinner has acknowledged his need for Christ, once we have accepted Christ into our lives, it doesn't end there, right? Now there's a journey of growth, our spiritual growth, getting deeper into the word, and also the sharing of the message, sharing God's love with other people. Could you please just emphasize on that point, the importance of sharing our love, sharing our testimony of what God has done for us, how that then helps us and shapes us as we grow in our Christian walk?
Thank you. We have that good example of that man who was living in the tombs. When he was healed, he said he wanted to go with Christ. Christ said, no, 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 don't come with me. Go to your family. Go and tell them the things that God has done for you. And we are told the man went to Decapolis. Decapolis meaning 10 cities. Walking, talking about the love of God. This man did not hear any sermon from Jesus.
Mm-mm.
It was just the demons that were cast. The interaction with him or Jesus was less than 1 hour. But with that interaction, he went to 10 cities to talk about one story, the story of a loving Savior. So even today, we can do the same. You have accepted Christ, and you can tell one story.
Mm.
2,000 years ago, a certain man climbed, and he died for you and I.
Amen.
His name is Amen. Jesus.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the story. And this Jesus, when you accept him, when he comes the second time, he gives you immortality. Whether he finds you in the grave or he finds you alive, he will give you that immortality. Mm-hmm. That is the good news.
Yep.
That's the great news that we have. And that in him, there is a victory over sin now.
Mm-hmm.
Not tomorrow, but now.
Powerful, powerful. And Pastor, thank you so much for such a beautiful review of the second chapter. Maybe let's close in prayer for our listeners out there who have acknowledged their need, who recognize their need for a Savior, and just to give thanks to God for being the answer to that prayer, that He has already answered our prayer. He has answered, He has responded to our need for a Savior. He has emptied heaven for our sake, for our salvation. Let's pray that God would help us all to open up our hearts to him, and also just to acknowledge our need for him, and let's thank him for responding to that need. Please pray for us.
Thank you. Our Lord and our Savior, we thank you in a special way for giving us a moment to have this conversation to the glory and honor of your name. We acknowledge our need for you. In a certain corner of the world, But I've got a child listening to this conversation. What a loving savior, that you are a savior to that one person and a personal savior for that matter. You came on earth to reconcile that one person to the God whose law was broken, our Lord and our Savior. How we pray that your Holy Spirit will steer that one person, that he or she is the object of all your love, and that you know what your children are passing through, and you love them, and you want to walk with them during the day and during the night. And you want all of us, your children, to think about your love, to think about your sacrifice, and to prepare for the second coming by telling others the story of your love for the human race. Prepare us to meet you. Prepare us to seek you, to stay with you forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Munga. God bless you. Until the next time we chat again.
You are most welcome, and our listeners, God bless you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.